here we go. Hour number two of the Big On The Air show here. Scott Spears along with Glenn Coble. Anniversary day, Wednesday, June the 10th, 2020, 17 minutes past the hour. Big anniversary show here tonight on WWGH Radio, 7:10 to 9 p.m. Everybody on the staff, including Jeff Ruth and Mary Ellen Withrow, will be here tonight. Pizza.
Oh, did you
bread.
Put those two on our staff?
No, no, they're the friends.
Okay.
Friends and family.
Well,
that's
I'd
what
like
it is
to have
tonight.
Both of them as staff. That'd
and we'll have pizza and bread and beverages and some kind of dessert that I don't know about yet. And
what
cheese
is,
tray.
What is bread playing tonight? What
bread?
Yeah.
Does anybody even know who the band Bread is?
Oh, I thought everybody knew who Bread was.
No. That's back in the ancient days.
That's back in my day.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz.
I've been having fun. WOSU is making, you know, when they make money, they put on the same old stuff time and time again. And they were doing folk music. And they had on the Kingston Trio and the Limelighters. And those were the two groups that my folk trio tried to emulate. And I knew all the songs, and I was singing to them. My wife got annoyed and told me to shut up. So,
now, what was your favorite folk song?
I can't remember the name of it. It was about a young man that's dying in a field of flowers and... I can't remember the name of it.
It's a happy song.
Yeah, oh, terribly happy. A lot of the songs I like are very melancholy. As a matter of fact, the songs I listen to, and I listen and sing while I'm walking. I do about 2 miles a day or something like that. While I'm walking, I sing these songs that I have on my phone, and occasionally I embarrass myself because I'll notice somebody sitting on a porch looking at me like I'm an idiot, which I am.
So you're singing loud.
I sing like I'm broadcasting, yeah.
And yet you won't sing here.
No. I tell you what, I blame this on my wife. My wife has a beautiful operatic type voice. And she once told me that I needed more support and I needed to put it up in my nasal cavity. And from that point on, I assume she thought I couldn't sing for crap, so I don't sing in public anymore. I would like to sing. What I'd like to do is get a group together that sing a cappella stuff. I love a cappella sounding stuff. But, you know, like Boys to Men was kind of a cappella stuff. I want to sing the modern stuff. I don't want to go sing with the gentlemen who sing the barbershop stuff, which is wonderful stuff, but that's kind of boring to me. Anyway.
Now, why is that boring?
It all sounds the same to me. It's based on the same progressions on the guitar. And it's kind of boring to me. It's kind of like the 50s music, kind of boring.
Have you ever learned the Swap Shop theme yet?
I have not, and I intend not to.
Well, you should, because it needs re-sung.
Oh, no. As I've told you, one of the guys that sang with me with the folk trio has told me that he's going to make me a new song, and he hasn't. He's not real. You know, he and I are about the same age, and... You know, it's easier to lay on the couch than to get up and get his sound equipment working again. He has a terrific voice, and he plays guitar, and he's also a sound engineer, so he could do it falling off the bed, but he hasn't done it yet. I'm waiting for it, though.
Now, this was for Swap Shop or your other show?
For both, actually. He said he would do it for both and let me down. Joe, wake up.
I can't, you know, I have not heard the Swap Shop theme for a while. How does it, I mean, what does it talk
You're
about?
You're not going to get me to bring it up.
No, I'm just, you can talk it. I mean, what does it say?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it. The only reason why I played it is because Charlie hated it so much and I love tickling him.
Well, yeah, I don't think it made him laugh.
No, it did not.
No, he didn't like it, period.
He would turn the radio off.
He would. He'd turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever heard your show. Because when that came on, the radio went off.
Hey, I always had that lady calling in and asking if Swap Shop was on, and he didn't know how to respond.
You know, it's sad. He got more calls for Swap Shop than you ever have.
Yeah, he did.
By accident.
Yeah. Well, it might not be an accident. Maybe I'm just no good at it.
Well, it's that theme.
Yeah.
You kill it.
Had to be.
Right off the beginning.
Well, we're going to have Swap Shop again tomorrow.
How did it go last week?
I don't think I got a call.
Oh, good. Good to know.
So average.
Good to know.
Well, it was an experiment to see if it would work. I may just flat out quit calling it Swap Shop.
No. It's going to stay Swap Shop.
Well, we'll keep the same spot then. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just have to, you know, push it more or something.
Maybe if we could get Mr. Ted on and to do something.
I don't think it's who does it. I think like they ask, people say like the host would matter. Why would a host matter on a show like that?
It doesn't. And when we first started it, before the winter came and then the virus came, we were averaging 8 or 9 or 10
calls.
Yeah,
which was good.
Which was fine. Yeah, that's plenty. And so I think I killed it.
Well, you did the same thing past hosts have, and you cannot preempt it. Because when you preempt it, there are certain people who only listen for that.
Yeah.
And when you preempt it, then they don't know what you're...
Whether we're doing it or not.
Yeah, and then you go into something else and they're thinking, well, what is this?
Now, I do have a gentleman that calls me. He's called me 3 times, I think, who fixes bicycles for free. And he can do that. But, you know, the coronavirus, I have not been pushing it because I don't want to encourage people to go to their doors and shake hands
with
people.
But I don't think that's an encourage. This is where we are. You know, there have been spikes in cases. But we have to understand, people have the information, period. Yeah. At this point, what more can you do?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, we can't. We're not facilitating that relationship. We're not telling people to call people. We're not telling people to go to people.
No.
If you go, that's on your own accord.
I think it might pick up if I can get a few people. And I don't know if you noticed, I only saw on a terrific weekend only one garage sale sign. And I just don't think the economy has allowed us yet to be encouraged to sell that way. And I think it will. And I think once we move out of this, maybe it'll have to be until next spring. I don't know.
I think it's coming. The zoos are opening this week. I think they'll be busy.
I think they'll be closed in about 4 weeks.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, what's your reasoning behind that?
Well, I think that the spikes, which are starting already, will soar.
So, but what do you think? How will that close them?
Well, they will say, well, let's see, we're killing people. Maybe we ought to close, not do that anymore.
See, I don't think the government will ever step back in and close things again. And I don't.
Did the government close them?
Yeah, the state of Ohio did.
Well, the state, yeah. When I thought you were talking federal.
No, the state. I don't think the state will ever stop back in and do that again. The whole reason they're opening it now, they know what's going on.
They're opening it.
Well, I think they would not have done this. I mean, I think they're. Why would you? You know what's going on. Why would you open everything, and just to shut it back down?
Well, I'm asking the same question.
Right, which I think is why they won't do it. I think the new idea is they've crashed the economy so horribly that they know that they are not going to be responsible for that now. So now they've given people the information. They can go back and say, listen, we shut it down for 2.5 months. We told you what to do. We told you you need to wear masks. We told you you need to sanitize. We told you you should not travel. We told you 6 feet apart. Now if you do it, it's on you.
Maybe. We'll see. I think if we jump back up to, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people dying a day, I think they'll have to do something. But maybe not. Let them die, I guess.
Well, no, I think it's just stay home. Stay home.
I know
if you've got
that's
worries.
What you should do, and that's what I have been doing. I don't know. At some point, the government's going to get the blame for all the people dying, and I don't know. I think they'll do something, but maybe not.
I just don't see it because I think that when we started this, the economy was fine. I don't think you can do that now. You would it would be a depression. You would absolutely cause a depression.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody wants to do that. I think the misnomer here is that we want people to die. That's not the idea. The idea is, if you have pre-existing conditions, if you have little kids, if you have elderly, whatever it is, don't risk it. If you risk it, I'm not saying you should have to die for it, but certainly you knew the risks.
Well, I went to two, as you know, went to two rallies, and but I was able to keep at least 6 feet between. In some cases, people thought maybe I had forgotten to use deodorant because I was 20 feet from people. But I was able to do that, and I wore a mask, and I felt comfortable. Now, I did understand that one person was reported to have had the coronavirus at the first rally. But I wasn't close enough to anybody during the first rally to get it, I don't think. But I don't know. If I had a crystal ball, maybe I would know, but I don't.
Well, I'm not saying the cases won't spike. I think that's very possible. But I also think the government
started.
Right, but I don't think the government's going to get involved again.
Okay, yeah, that's a legitimate point.
Because I just think, you know, who wants to be with their hand on the switch of a depression? And you are leaving it up to the states at this point. So it's even hard to blame the federal government. You can't.
How about if we get a new president in, then he doesn't get any blame for this?
Well,
maybe he could do something, or she could.
Well, that wouldn't
something.
Happen until January. By that's that point, true. I think we're going to be long into it.
Well, that's what they've been saying for the last 4 months. So.
Well, I think that's also one of the reasons that things opened back up, is the 10,000 cases a day never happened, and there was supposed to be a much higher. What was it? At one point, 70% of the people in the country at one point were going to be carriers. Or these were things that were said very early.
Yeah, you've been reading too much on the internet.
No, that was factual. That was out of the governor's mouth.
Well, that doesn't mean it's factual.
Well,
it
I
just means it's out of the governor's mouth.
Well, what to you is factual and what is not?
Facts.
But you think the governor lied?
Well, I think a lot of politicians lie. I don't know. I don't know.
So, but where would the facts be? Right, but I think it was a guess, and they gave the guess, and the guess didn't happen, so it made everybody think, well, this is not as bad as we think it is.
I think that was probably the highest guess that I ever heard, and I didn't hear that one. But are you talking about in Ohio or in the United
I think it was
States?
70% in the country, but I think it was 10,000 cases a day in Ohio at the height.
I never, ever heard that, but...
Yeah. Research that.
I'm not going to research it because I don't believe it. But
well, no, it was said.
Well, whoever said it, I'd like to hear.
Dr. Acton.
Huh?
Dr. Acton. We're going to break. We'll be back in exactly 1 minute. Stay tuned for much more programming here on WWGH Radio.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here. I thought we had a guest there. Here we go. I think they're coming back here on our sixth anniversary day here on WWGH Radio. 6 years on the air. We've had a tremendous morning this morning. Sam Donaldson and Dick Cavett and Colleen Marshall and David Newell and Cousin Brucey. And now we're joined by a man who's been a regular on my program for several years now. He's a best-selling author. You probably remember him best as the doctor on the Today Show, Dr. Art Uihlein. Dr. Uihlein, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Never better, and congratulations to you on this anniversary.
Well, Doctor, it has been so much fun to have you on over the years and have our conversations about illnesses, things going on in the country. I have always found it fascinating, and you can't do a good show if you don't have good guests, and you certainly have been a good friend and a good guest.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You have made my day. My wife keeps asking me, why do you do this? You won't get up at 6:15 in the morning for anyone. Why do you get up for this guy at a radio station in a town of 20,000? And I said, because I love being on with this man. You ask such stimulating questions. You turn me on, and I just want you to know that the pleasure of the encounter is mutual.
Well, Dr. Euline, to know that, I appreciate that. Give my apologies to your wife for getting you up early in the morning. But it has always, boy, I tell you, some of the conversations we've had, from heart disease to diabetes to dementia, you know, I think we've informed so many people, and I'm so proud of that.
And Scott, I am proud of that too. I want your audience to know that you tend to take these conversations into a different dimension, a broader dimension. You get into the meaning of things, and that's why I like to get up at 6:15 in the morning.
Well, Doctor, I say, for the people you've worked with in broadcasting, I take that as huge high praise, and we will continue to do it. And I thank you so much for stopping by on our 6th anniversary.
You're welcome, and I hope you'll call me again in the coming year. As Don Pardo used to say when he did these promos for the sports section, if there is a coming year.
Thank you, Dr. Euline.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Dr. Art Euline, hey, there you go.
Yeah, I should have asked him about my heart disease.
Oh, man, Glenn.
It's not bad.
No, that's good. I'll put you in touch.
Yeah, all right, cool.
What a nice anniversary visit with the doctor.
Yeah, that was very nice of him. Yeah, you're getting a lot of attaboys.
Well, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe we're doing something good here.
I'm feeling warm all over, and
I feel warm and fuzzy today, yeah. It's one of those warm and fuzzy moments here. You know, I don't know. It's very interesting, these people. Again, Dr. Euline, my goodness, best-selling author. He was on Good Morning America and the Today Show for so many years. You're right. Why do you get up to talk to this guy?
He must be out in California, I assume.
I think Arizona.
Arizona.
I think Arizona.
So he's only 2 hours behind us then.
No, three.
Is that three?
Yeah, Las Vegas, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they were all 3 hours.
Yeah, that's one of the things I enjoy about when I drive out to my son's house in California and we drive through all those three changes. Never quite figure out where I am when I am. So, but I do know when I get out there, I'm 3 hours behind time. Or behind time. Whatever.
Do you know where you are, Glenn?
No, I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever flown over to Europe?
I have not flown to Europe.
Wherever you have a big distance. And I'm told that it's worse if you go east than if you go west. But the jet lag is just, I get very bad jet lag, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how do you get rid of the jet lag?
Sleep.
You just have to sleep it off?
Yeah, I get really bad headaches, so. And I never get headaches, but when I fly east, especially, more than 3 hours, I'm in trouble.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what have you learned by listening to programs on this station?
What have I learned?
What have you learned? Now, see, that's a good question.
It's easy for you to say. I have to answer it. I don't know. I learn a little bit of everything every day. I mean, I try to keep my ears open as much as my mouth open. I've learned an awful lot of things. I learned that not Shecky Green. Yeah, Shecky Green.
Shecky Green.
I've learned that man can make me laugh till I pee my pants.
Isn't it amazing
when he comes on the show?
Isn't that amazing?
He is funny, and I didn't used to think he was that good.
No, he's so impromptu.
Yeah,
it's a total impromptu thing.
Absolutely, I love listening. You know, today I was listening to Dick Cavett, and I thought he's a real person. It's hard to imagine that. I watched him on TV, and you know, I had watched his interview with Nixon, And he didn't seem like a real person to me. He seemed like an icon. Let's leave it at that. But today, he sounded like a real guy.
Well, you know what I think why these people come back is because it's comfortable.
Yeah, you let them be a real guy. They don't have to be special. Yeah, and I agree. And I'm not just blowing smoke up your skirt.
Here we go. I'm already filled with the sugar today.
Well, you know that I'm impressed with your interview ability, and I'm absolutely certain the reason why you're better at it than I am is that, well, first of all, you're smarter, but second of all, you have more guts than I do when it comes to introducing yourself to people you don't know or talking.
Well, you know what it is. I would be upset if I had somebody on and did not ask them the pertinent question.
Yeah.
Now, I've had people get angry at me for this. You know, I think, you know, memories flood your brain because once you have so many people on, you can't remember them all. But I remember the dust up with Jim Jordan.
Yeah, that was the very first one I was thinking
about. Yeah, that was a dust up with over the college thing.
Yep.
Because nobody would ask him about
it. Yeah, and that was the question that had to be asked.
And I went ahead and asked it, and that was a little dust up. I had Roger Stone on this show.
Yes, I remember.
That was
I remember the last one.
2 months before he got indicted.
Yeah, that was the biggest lie fest I ever listened to.
Yeah, but, you know, again, he got ticked at me after that interview.
Oh, did he?
Oh, because he felt I was not on his side.
Well, you were not on anybody's side, right?
I don't think I was, but Roger, and I think the problem was I had met Roger years before, and he had been on promoting his books. He did a book on the Kennedy assassination. He did a book on Nixon. He did a book on the Clintons. He did a book on Trump. So by the time we got to that interview where he's about to be indicted, he'd been on a lot. And I think that's a problem.
He's still about to be indicted, isn't he?
No, he's about to go to prison.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a guest.
He'll be out.
But then also, the other one, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, I remember when he was on.
Did he get angry with you?
I don't think he did.
No.
I was worried.
I thought he was a very good guest.
He was a good guest.
And
I asked him what people see, but the question there was that I thought would tick him off. You know, people think you're a racist.
Yeah,
and I asked him.
Yeah,
but he did not get angry.
No, he didn't give a very. If I recall correctly, he didn't get a very satisfying answer.
You can't choose the answers.
Yeah, no, you can't.
But you know, but there's that, and so I think about things like that. But then I also think, you know, we're not. This is it. This is what you could not do if you had a political bias. We talked earlier on about saying interesting and so on and so forth. What show can say they've had Roger Stone, Joe Arpaio, Jim Jordan, and Phyllis Schlafly, and Kathleen Willey, one of Bill Clinton's accusers of rape, and another one, Juanita Broderick, all have been on the station. Same station, Al Franken, Jesse Jackson,
Eleanor Clift,
people very left.
Yeah.
So Phil Donahue, you cannot say who has that array.
Yeah. No. And that's why I appreciate being on this station. I also appreciate that you allow me to have my A Progressive Life show, but that's not bad because we also have people like the pastor and we have people that have the right side as well.
But I like all those. But it's a weird thing. I like Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly came up from the floor in her 90s of the Republican convention to do an interview with me.
Yeah,
in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, I liked her. She liked me. I think Roger Stone liked me right up till that last interview. I think the sheriff and I, as you said, got along really well. But I also got along with Jesse Jackson. I also got along with Phil Donahue. I also got along. So that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to another 6 years. I may not be here, but
I may not be here.
That's true. We could both
we
walk
could both
outside
be gone
and be gone. But
and I might write some more people off in the next 6 years. Apparently, I do that often.
I hope you don't write too many people.
You know what? Here's the thing with people. I wanted to come back to that just for a second. You know what? The most appealing thing to me is when somebody does eventually they'll come to you and say, "Listen, I'm sorry that we're apart, and, you know, I apologize if I played any part in that. Can we put this behind us?" I think that takes a big person.
I've never had anybody say that to
See,
me.
That's what, it's an important thing.
No, because I don't usually, well, recently I have been dumping a lot of people on Facebook. I finally decided I usually try to listen to both sides of the story on Facebook, but I've had people that have put stuff on there that I know are lies and they should know are lies, and I decided to just cut them out, so.
Well, for me, what it comes down to is, and you can even say you did something that upset me. I can understand that. But say that.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I think silence is where we get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because nobody
agree
knows why anybody's upset. And I think it just exacerbates the problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one of my main commitments when I ran for state representative the last time was to quit telling it like people wanted to hear it. I told it the way I felt, and you may disagree with me, but the nice thing about it is I always know the way I feel and I don't have to lie about it. And that's kind of where I wanted to be as a politician, and obviously it didn't serve me well.
Well, but you know, I think politics is a different game.
It is.
I don't know if I'd feel that way if I was a politician about political issues. Personal issues, yes. But political issues, I don't know. There are certain things. I remember one time I had a conversation. Well, here's another, Mary Ellen, who is certainly to the left. I remember having a conversation with her one time about things that she really could not speak out on mm-hmm. when she was running for office. And I think those were smart decisions. Now, not that she didn't feel that way. I'm sure she did. But it just will cut you. You know, there's a difference between lying and just not saying anything.
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with, there are a lot of people that know how to say nothing without offending. And that's a political talent that I think you need if you're going to be successful. I did not have that talent. If somebody came up to me and said, "What do you feel about abortion?" I was going to tell them. So,
well, and yeah, I think there are ways you can say, I don't know. It's just, you always want to understand the other side. At least I do.
Yeah, that's why I listen to both the right and left talk shows, is so that I can listen, I can understand both sides.
I think when sometimes we get in a very big vacuum and we don't listen to other people. I said it this morning, I think once already. You know, when I'm talking, I never learned anything. I never learned anything when I was talking. And I think that's true, and I wish people took that into account more often.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, let's listen to each other. Let's not scream at each other all the time. All right, here comes a minute break. We're coming back in 1 minute. Don't go away. Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Well, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and we've got somebody on the phone line. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott, three things. First of all, about every 2 or 3 minutes, you're cutting out for a second or two for some reason.
Well, I'll check that out.
Yeah, dead airspace. The other thing is to congratulate you on your anniversary of 6 years.
Thank you.
And I'm surprised that you made it back from your fishing trip, so I think we should take up a donation to get you a guide dog.
It might be. Well, hey, thank you so much.
Hey, Scott.
Take care.
We're all taking a donation around the station to buy him a boat so he'd stay out there.
You know what? I enjoyed it this past weekend. Good. I enjoyed it. I really did. I had a good time. I was with somebody who was fun, which I think is paramount in fishing because I like to talk and I don't want to sit there alone. And boy, the fish were biting.
Good.
Drop that thing in the water.
Where did you go?
It was a place between here and Kenton. Originally, okay. I was just going to go to Indian Lake.
Yeah, but
the person I was with said they knew of this small, which people, I put the picture up on Facebook. It's a small.
I saw that.
I guess it's a lake because it wasn't man-made. Man-made, I guess, is a pond.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere, I don't even know if I could find it again, but it's somewhere between here and Kenton, about midway.
Well, there are no lakes in the state of Ohio, with the exception of Lake Erie.
Or a river?
They're usually river. You know, if you have a river dammed up, it becomes a lake, but it's not an original lake.
Well, don't forget today, though, the Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on right after this show, 12 to 1. And then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, which will be live today, 4 to 5 p.m., the Trinity Baptist Church, 6 to 7. And then we will come on at 7:10 tonight until 9 p.m. with the 6th anniversary special. What a time we are going to have. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if I've mentioned this. I haven't. I should pay attention to my notes a little more often here. Starting as of last Friday, and it's been this way, every day at 7:10 a.m., 7:10 p.m., and 1:10 p.m., Charlie Evers airs on this station.
Oh, cool.
The Best of Charlie. Every day on the 7s, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and 1 in the afternoon, a classic episode of the 6 years of Charlie on this station.
So as my show goes off, Charlie will come on today?
At 1:10.
Fantastic.
I was listening to one this morning on the right because he precedes my show coming in the morning, and it was one where I was at the Republican convention in 2016, and he was waiting for the phone call.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it was good. Always good to hear Charlie's voice.
Yeah.
And Friday from 10 to 12 on this station will be the last new Charlie Evers show. Now, I'm not going to tell you who the guest is, but this is why we're doing it. This is the right person to bring in to do the last Charlie show. So Friday from 10 to 12.
Was that the day that he hurt his arm?
What?
His last show.
No. He was here on April the 8th. But Friday, this Friday, will be a new show.
That we've never heard before?
That we've never heard.
Oh.
It'll be the Charlie Evers theme song, and I will have a guest.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I was confused.
And that will serve as the last new Charlie Evers show on this station.
Okay.
But wait till you hear who the guest is.
Oh, yeah. I think I know.
But
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Have we talked about it?
Yeah.
We did?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, you did. You told me last week.
I told the wrong person that.
Everybody in town knows.
Everybody
by the
in
way.
Town will know. It's but Friday morning you'll want to hear that because it's something we haven't done in regard with our tributes to Charlie and so on. And so. Oh, by the way, tonight I do want to mention during the 2-hour program we do have I think they're about 3 or 4 minutes both of them, but we will pay tribute to Charlie tonight.
Cool.
Of course, how can you not do that? And it will be audio quotes. Well, I'll tell you. Listen, you'll listen because of this. It's the one that we all love. It's on the sauce.
Yes.
So that will be played tonight. You cannot remember Charlie with, and he would love to hear that. So tonight, two other ones. It amounts to about 3.5 minutes. So we'll pay tribute to Charlie tonight. But we also lost another force of this station this past year, Marge Hazelett.
Uh-huh.
So we will also pay tribute to Marge tonight. So you will hear Marge's voice and Charlie's voice for about 3 minutes each on the show tonight.
I'm going to be coming in probably late. I hope I don't miss it altogether. I don't think I will, but I'll be coming in late. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the Christmas of 2018, I saw a picture that was taken in front of the Christmas tree of me, Charlie, and Marge.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, December of 2018, and here we are in the spring of 2020. And
was that my first?
I would have been a month you started.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it was just the three of us. Because Charlie and Marge did the exchange on Friday, and I think it was taken on one of those Friday shows.
Uh-huh.
And I think tonight we'll be paying tribute to both of them. It's strange, but they both were the same age. They both were 85, and Marge left us in February, and Charlie, of course, last month. And that's the way life works.
Yeah.
But I do understand. I know Charlie had a peaceful ending. And so did Marge. I talked to Marge's niece actually last night, oddly enough. So I know that to be true and sure as well.
Very good.
Hold it. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, for some reason you guys keep cutting out.
I'm going to have to figure out what that is. I don't know. I don't know what's coming.
You'll cut out and go back in, cut out and go back in.
Huh.
How often?
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, Glenn, the radio's playing in there. What's it sound like?
I haven't been listening. I'll have to pay attention.
I'll listen on the way. Yeah. It could just be that there's some trouble with the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what's going on.
I hear it out in the hallway right now, which indicates that we're on now.
I mean, that could be. Sometimes the internet speed dives.
Yeah, yeah.
In studio, and that's what our relay is. Yeah. So that could be it.
Okay.
I'll check it between 12 and 1.
I wonder if we're off for like 1 or 2 seconds or if we're off for like 30 seconds.
Well, I can hear us right now.
Yeah.
So I know it's not.
There.
Yeah, that was a very quick out.
Yeah, it was.
So hopefully it will be fixed momentarily.
Yeah.
It's probably just a speed thing.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we don't miss out on the secrets of the world as you and I are passing them along.
As we are today, 52 minutes coming up on 53 minutes past the hour. But no, you know, I like people. I guess that's what I want to say. I enjoy people. I think people are great. But, you know, I like having people in my life, but sometimes they got to let me know. I'm not perceptive on this type of stuff.
I'm not going to say anything about that. But
no, I mean, are you?
Huh?
Are you?
I like everybody, so I think everybody likes me. I know that's not true.
That can't be true.
No, it isn't true. But I do pretty much like everybody.
We got 7 minutes. Why don't you plug the show tonight? I want to hear you plug it.
The
anniversary.
The anniversary
plug
show.
Hit me with the time and hit me with all the people who are here. Because I want to see if you can name the whole staff here.
Oh, no.
Also, go ahead.
I can tell you that the show is going to be on from 7, 10 to 9 o'clock tonight.
Okay, give me the guest list.
I have no idea.
Let's try.
You and me.
You and me.
And Linda. And Charlie's going to be interviewed, or we're going to have his interviews on.
And Marge.
Marge and Mary Ellen will be on, and I'm trying to think.
Jeff Ruth.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. That was who I was trying to think of. Who am I missing?
Sean and Terry.
Oh, yeah, Sean and Terry.
Adam.
Okay, why don't you give this?
Esther Whitaker, who you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Nate Redman.
I know the general gist of what's going on tonight.
And we're all going to sing.
No, we're not.
We are.
Maybe you all.
You're going to sing, Glenn. You let us in those horrible carols at Christmas. We're going to sing them.
Hey, I got through them at least.
We can do Moon River tonight.
Moon River. I used to love that. You know, I did have a, speaking of Moon River, I don't know why this brought it up, but I got to know Dionne Warwick because she was the aunt of one of my basketball players. I used to love the way she sang Moon River.
Williams.
Andy did, too.
Was the originator.
I didn't hear him sing it.
You know, here's one of my pet peeves when I think about parties. People need to tell me they want to come to parties.
Okay.
I'm not a good inviter.
Okay.
Now, with this thing,
you're not.
No, like with this.
You have not invited me to several.
Oh, and I will continue to not invite you to several more. But the point is that when it comes to this particular, like tonight, I invite people who have been here for a long time. But, I mean, if somebody else wanted to come, I would not necessarily say no.
Okay.
But, sometimes you need people to say,
I'd like to be there.
Yeah, I want to come. It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to.
Well, I think people are embarrassed to push themselves on you.
I would say no.
Yeah, but they don't know. They don't want to put you in that position or themselves.
Oh, I don't mind being put in that position at all. No.
They don't want to have to tell everybody, well, I wanted to go, but Scott said no. That's the position I'm in.
Well, you don't tell people that story if I say no. You say, well, I really didn't want to come anyway.
Oh, no, I would tell them that you told me not to come.
Oh, Mike Wilson. You didn't mention Mike Wilson, Glenn.
I'm sorry.
And Mike's listening.
Mike. I'm sorry, Mike.
Gosh, I hope you're going to have to kiss Mike's hindquarters tonight.
Actually, I did mention it to Mike's name, but we had the radio went off.
Oh, Glenn. And you said you'd never tell a lie. And here you are. You and Mike are going to sing Moon River.
No,
tonight.
We're not going to sing Moon River. Mike has a nice voice. I'm
you and Mike
it.
Are going to sing
I
Moon River.
I will let Mike
We're
sing.
Not having the Leszczyskis. We got to have a musical number.
Okay. I will bring my my cell phone and I'll play it.
He said he forgives you.
Okay.
He does, but
hey,
I don't.
I could pull up my my record album and play it.
We're not playing. we could play it off of YouTube. We're what live
no, you can't.
We
you
want
can't.
Live music.
You can't find it. Well, maybe you can still find it on
you
YouTube.
You and Mike are going to do Moon River.
No, we're
What's
not.
Another? You know, you should do. I'll tell you what you guys should do tonight is sing some of the theme songs on this station.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
I think it was.
You're convincing me to actually stay at my meeting
I'll
longer.
I'll send you over the lyrics this afternoon so you can brush up on these.
I may not make it to tonight's meeting.
How many people have sang Charlie's theme song?
I don't know. I sort of hum that one little section of it occasionally.
Well, you know, Mike, tonight you're going to sing Charlie's theme song.
Mike is?
And you are going
no,
to
No, I'm not.
Glenn.
No.
Stop being a pansy.
I'm telling you no, just like you want us to tell you.
Oh, mercy me.
Now,
wouldn't that
pansy.
Be great in honor and tribute? Because the man who sang Charlie's theme song is dead, so we can't have him.
I think having Mike do that with his nice voice would be a great honor for him.
It's how does it go?
I don't
does
know.
Anybody can anybody out there sing Charlie's theme? It's become so popular. Call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We're not going to play it because the man who, we all should sing it together tonight. Since we do that so well every time we
words.
Do it. Well, we'll print them out.
Okay. That'd like be wonderful. It'd just be like the Christmas show where you had all those songs printed out and nobody could read them or, you know.
Well, you guys just
we all looked
you guys
at each
can't
other like
read. That's why tonight we'll go into a shambles like it always does, but it'll be fun.
I hope it will.
Well, it always is it not?
It's getting close to break time, thank goodness.
I might hold this show over. Mike is, Mike knows it by heart.
Oh, Mike, get on the air and do it right now.
Mike, you're going to sing it tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
So practice today. I don't know it by heart.
I don't
I know it
know
starts
it by
out,
anything.
And I heard it, I've heard it a bazillion times. It's time, I always forget how it starts. I know at the end it's a, you know, email all your loved ones and call them on the, now see, I don't know it.
Yeah.
But if I hear it, I know it.
I hum along. Humming along takes my voice out of it because I can hum quiet.
So tonight, again, we will have Mike Wilson, number one.
And he's going to be singing.
7 to 9 p.m. We will have Mike Wilson, Linda Sims, Glenn Coble, myself, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Adam Lepp, Nate Redman, Pastor Whitaker, somebody else who I can't mention at this point, but they will be here. We will have pizza. We will have pop. We will have bread. We will have a cheese tray. We will have a special homemade dessert
for everybody.
Are you inviting
the entire audience?
We will have
to come?
Mary Ellen Withrow. We will have Jeff Ruth and anybody else who might pop up in the Ted Williams here. Between Ted and Jeff Ruth, they might eat the walls. There might be nothing left here tomorrow morning.
Well, for certain, we won't get a word in edgewise, right?
Mike sings it in the shower, and he's
oh
going to
my.
Sing it tonight in tribute.
Please. Wear clothes tonight, though.
In tribute to our friend Charlie. And we're going to pay tribute tonight to Charlie and Marge. So
okay.
Don't think we're going to leave the two of them off tonight's show.
Yep.
Absolute classic people and good friends of ours. And they will be here tonight. And that's about all the time we have.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Haven't you heard everybody kiss my hindquarters this morning for 4 hours?
Enough.
And you say, thank goodness. Mike says he'll sing tonight.
All right.
Get ready,
excellent.
Mike. And you're going to hum behind him. And
I'll
give
hum
him
behind
some,
him.
Come, we're done. Glenn Coble coming up next. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman at 4. Trinity Baptist at 6.
Bring
and
your
we're
kazoo.
Back at 7.
Above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers reporters, and but none of them was looking down. They was all looking up head high, and I saw it. And I, as soon as I saw that, I was already within 4 or 5 steps of him by that time. And when I saw it, then I knew exactly what was going to happen. So I began my defense on it, trying to jerk Oswald behind me, and I was moving him behind me, and he took forward.